My daughter-in-law, Cindy Lou, I just realized today that I don't even know your middle name. It's really not Lou, is it? I didn't. Cindy Lou just rolls off the tongue easy, so I just call her that. She just spent a whole week with a whole bunch of young mamas and babies. And I would have a real tough time doing that. And I imagine, I guess the youngest one was 14, right? Had a baby. And her whole objective was to spend time with those little people and love them and talk about God and pray with them. And I imagine many of a tear was shed of sorrow and happiness too. Lots of stories, lots of woundedness there. And Cindy experienced it as a really, really good thing. Jesus was talking to his people, and he said, I'm paraphrasing this, but he said, I'm going to come back. And when I do, I'm going to sit on a throne, and all the nations of the earth will gather before me, and the people will be judged. Just like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, we'll separate the people. And I think Jesus preferred sheep. So he said, all the sheep are going to go one place, all the goats are going to go to another place. And his rationale for putting them in their particular places was deceptively and amazingly simple. Certain things will happen to one group, and other things will happen to other group. So we're disciples of Christ, and we follow his teachings. And Jesus, when he was teaching, he simpled it down for us. Don't you know it's possible to get really complicated in your Christian walk? It's possible to get really, really detailed, such that it becomes a real burden. Well, Jesus simpled it down for us. He called his teachings a yoke. He called it a yoke. He said, I've got an easy, easy yoke and a light burden. And here's what he said about it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. This is Matthew 11:28. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In another place, he said, one way to please God is to give somebody a drink of water. Matthew 10:42. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he'll certainly not lose his reward. So we're promised an easy yoke. So that's simple. Well, so is this judgment that Jesus was talking about. It's simple also. It's in the Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats. Let me read that to you. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then here's why. Because I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And there will be some people who are surprised at that, he said. He said the next verse, "The righteous will answer and said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And here's a fascinating statement. The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did for me." I think what Cindy Lou was doing was being a good sheep. I think she was doing stuff for the least of these. And I don't know how you define the least of these. I don't know what that is. I think many a time I'm the least of these. And maybe everybody is at one time or another. But I have to confess to you that my difficulty with serving God has been due to the fact that I can't find him. I don't see him anywhere. I'd happily serve him if I could find him. Well, a study of the scriptures finds that everybody else had the same problem, nearly. It seems as if the great servants of God weren't really serving God directly, they were serving his people in some way or another. It's almost like serving God, you can't really do it directly. You have to do it in a way, in kind of an oblique way of serving his people. So if the stakes are that high, and if I want to be a sheep and not a goat, and I want to enter into a kingdom that God has prepared for me since the beginning of the world, do you think he's still working? Boy, I don't know if he's still working on the house or not. It's quite a house. But if he invites me in because I did these things, then I want to do them. So I'd like to figure out a way to make it easy, because what we're talking about here is loving people, right? That's really what it amounts to, is loving people. And so have you ever tried to love somebody you don't love? How easy is that? That presents a dilemma. Because listen to this. We're supposed to love people. Jesus said, his yoke is easy. Loving people is so hard, it's impossible. But Jesus said, his yoke is easy. So I'm in danger of becoming a goat. And you know what happens to goats. So how do I make an impossible task easy? What can happen is that which was designed to be my greatest blessing actually becomes a curse to me, because I'm trying to do something God asked me to do that I have a real hard time doing. And that gets really hard after a while, and it feels like a curse, and it gets you depressed, make you feel bad. So there's got to be an answer for this, and I think I know what it is. I think love has to come from an easier source than my own efforts. I believe that love has to come from somewhere else other than me, because I really have a really hard time generating it from me. Listen to this. Here's what I really think is the truth. Love is actually a fruit. It's an outcome of something. And it's not primarily a result of a primary effort. What does this say to you? The fruit of the Spirit is love. What's that tell you? Fruit of an apple tree, it's an apple. So an apple has to come from an apple tree. So the fruit of the Spirit, then, is love. So where does love come from, according to this scripture? Spirit. Well, bye-bye. So our love problem is actually a spirit problem. If we're having trouble loving the least of these people, or having trouble loving anybody, and either in our family or outside our family, it's actually, the answer to it is couched within the Spirit of God. Well, in order to serve the least of these, then I need the Spirit of God. Where do I get that? I find that the Spirit of God is also a fruit and is not a result of a primary effort on my part. Listen to this, Galatians. What does this say to you? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Do you capture the message in that? Does God give you the Spirit because you observe the law or because you believe? First of all, the Spirit comes from what? God. It's a gift. And why does He give it to us? Because we believe what we heard. So the Spirit is actually a fruit of hearing and believing. And then acting on it. And it goes on to talk about Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. So Abraham did some things when he believed. So the answer to not being a goat then is about four things. And here they are. It's first of all, we need to do unto the least of these. If Jesus is hungry, we need to feed him. If he's thirsty, we need to give him something to drink. If he needs clothes, we need to give him some of those. If he's sick, we need to go visit him and help him. If he's in prison, go visit him. But we can't find Jesus, so we just have to do it for his brothers. And we love these people because we have the Spirit of God in us. And we have the Spirit of God in us because we believe what we heard. We believe the Word of God. And so, the answer to not being a goat is to really immerse ourselves in here and do what it says. And just immerse ourselves in the Word. And then it becomes a lot easier to do this loving. That's good. That's good. Because now everybody can do it. Do anybody in here have a personality that's not cut out for loving people very good? And some of you, it just comes as natural as that, doesn't it? Well, with this formula right here, the good news is we don't have to depend on our personality or our background or our upbringing or anything like that in order to do what he's asking us to do and actually end up being a sheep. That's good. That's good news. Everybody can do it. And here's the thing. Let's not be discouraged. Because doing these types of things can really discourage you. Because a lot of those little old rascals don't deserve it. And they don't appreciate it. So, what am I supposed to do then with somebody who doesn't deserve it and doesn't appreciate it and who is thirsty? I'd like to submit to you that if we try to figure out who all deserves it before we do it, we won't ever do it. because we don't know the motives of people's hearts and we don't know everything that's going on with them. I'm sure of this. I spent a whole lot of time in downtown Houston in the last 20 years and actually walking up and down streets and listening to people ask me for money. And I've rationalized that till I'm blue in the face. I don't know how to, I never have known exactly what to do about that. But here's a scripture. I think I learned it in the King James. Give to him who asketh of thee, and to of him who would, I don't remember it in the King James. Here's what it says. If somebody asks you for something, give it to him. And if he wants to borrow, don't turn away from him. And then he just goes on to another subject and he doesn't give me any relief whatsoever. You ever read that? What do you do with that? Maybe some of y'all can teach me what to do about that. Here's where I've come to with that particular scripture. If he's asking me to do it, and I get to thinking I'm fixing to go broke, because I go into a certain section, I get mobbed by people asking me for stuff. So if I give to everybody, then I'm going to go broke, and that can't be good. That's my rationale. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying I think that. And so where I came to finally was, what if I ever get brave enough to actually do that? If anybody really asks me for something, I just give it to them. If I have it, I wonder if the same guy who asked me to do it can actually control the traffic. Do you know what I'm saying? I wonder if he can control who comes to me asking me so that the outcome ends up being good for me instead of bad. I just had that thought the other day. It's a pretty fascinating thought. Anyway, what if they don't deserve it? We can get discouraged. And they might not be grateful. I've told you, some of you before, about this toll-paying episode I went through a few years ago. Rib Tickler restaurant had a sign on the wall of things you can do to make the day better, and one of them was pay the toll of the person behind you, and it'll make your day better. And so I got this great idea that, man, I'm fixing to serve God in a big way here. I'm going to pay some tolls. And we lived in Spring at the time, and had to go through two toll booths to work. So I just started doing that. I'd pull up there and say, here, take my toll and pay the toll of the fellow behind me. And it made me happy to do that. It was exciting, and the lady at the toll booth started calling me Mr. Nice, and it was a neat thing. And I looked for people to glory at my generosity. And just really expected them to get happy about it. And I paid about 90 tolls, and then I took stock of the whole situation. And one person said thanks. It was a couple of teenage boys pulled up honking and waving. They were probably totally out of money anyway. But they said thanks. But everybody else either hung back behind me and didn't want to pass me, or they blew past me real fast as if they owed me something or something. I really didn't know why, but they just blew past me without looking at me. So I got sick and tired of that campaign. So why are you going to go trying to do something good for God if nobody appreciates it? And nobody even knows you're doing something good for God. So I got sick of it. And then it finally hit me, and I'm nearly done here. Thank you for listening to me. But here's the thing. Whose idea was it to pay the toll in the first place? It was mine. It wasn't theirs. And then who said that I'm supposed to give only to grateful people who will say thanks? Not Jesus. That was my idea. See, I thought I was giving it with no strings attached, but I had strings attached, right? I wanted and expected them to appreciate me. And when they didn't, I got aggravated at them. So I finally decided if I can ever learn how to give 80 cents away as freely as Jesus gave his life away, then maybe he'll trust me with some bigger projects later on down the road. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, and not just to the grateful, and not just to those who can pay it back, and not just to the pretty, and not just to the ones who have the right upbringing, but to the least of these. That way we get out of the goat crowd and start being a sheep. And that's really good news, because I really want to go to heaven. Well, that's about all I have to say about that. So I want to be like old Cindy Lou back there. And so I want to thank you for that. Thank you for being a good example. And I want to encourage all of us to be that same way. And when I was growing up, we always had an invitation. And I want to invite you. if I want to invite you to be a disciple of Jesus and be immersed in baptism into him if you haven't yet. We've got a lot of promises associated with being a disciple of Jesus. And one of them is an inheritance that's beyond our ability to believe. And if you wandered away from that, come on back. Let's don't stay gone. We don't have to. We don't need to. So we invite you to do that as we stand and sing here.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to it bring. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome voice. 'Tis the fountain open for all. There's a rock that fell, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Be seated, please, for just a moment.
I tell you, we had all those kids in this auditorium that are over there in that building, we wouldn't have any seats left tonight. Not at all. What a great crowd. We appreciate each one of you being here tonight. I thank Nathan down there on the floor. I didn't want him to think that I had to thank him for that lesson, but it was very good. I hope you all appreciate it. Those are a lot of things to think about as we go through our daily walk of life. Things keep happening in this congregation that are very good. Just a little update on Jamie Mathis. She is truly in labor now. So sometime tonight or tomorrow morning, she will have a brand new little baby son along. And both she and Brant will be very excited about that. So we want to continue to pray that it will be a safe delivery, that mom and baby will do well. Still, no visitors until the baby gets here. We have been blessed with new members, and I just want to, I'm not sure whether they are here tonight, but just to go over their names again so you'll know who they are. Hopefully we'll have all their pictures taken. One family we've already mentioned on a Sunday night, and that was the Bryant family. We have Joanne Webb, who has placed membership with us. And then we had Brett Rodriguez and Megan Albritton. They are an engaged couple that will be married in September. So we look forward to you getting to know them. VBS looks like it's going very, very well out there. And then I have one prayer request, and this is regarding a Zonta Matsky. This is a very close friend of Mary Ellen Walter. Apparently, this lady became very ill while traveling in Europe and had to be life-flighted back to here to the Woodlands. She is presently in Memorial Hermann Hospital. She has been diagnosed with a tumor in her brain, in her hip, and also in her lungs, and apparently is doing very poorly, and there is a possibility that she will not make it through the night. So in your prayers today and tonight, please remember Zonta Matsky. Thank you, Sonny.
Again, thank you for your prayers. I don't know how many, did you get a count or how many is in VBS?
I went over there early and there were lots of kids.
Okay, that's close enough. All right, thank you for coming. Let's stand and sing a final song, and then Brother John Olivero will lead a closing prayer. If you need to take the communion, go down the hall to the right in what we call the Magnolia Room, and there you'll be served.
Mm-hmm. He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. A wonderful song I now can sing, and my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise his name, he is my King. A wonderful song he is to me. I am redeemed, no more to die, never to say goodbye. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. And some of these days in that fair land, sing with a chorus grand. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise his name, he is my King. A wonderful song he is to me.
If you'll please bow with me in a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for your love, love that we don't deserve. Thank you once again for Nathan and the spirit that's in his heart that touches us so many different ways. Thank you for him and his family and all the singing and the teachers of this congregation. Lord, help us to strengthen our walk with you each and every day, and to touch everyone to believe in you. Thank you for your grace, and thank you so much for this beautiful day. Help this day to go with us throughout this week as we go out into the world, and to bring strength and love and wisdom to your kingdom. Thank you for your grace, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.